Welcome to Fables of the Force,
a Star Wars rewatch podcast.
I'm Scott.
I'm Matt.
And this is our show.
Welcome, everyone, to episode 126, where we will be discussing the episode A Distant Echo. It originally aired as the second episode of season 7.
Conspiracy!
The Bad Batch infiltrates a cyber center belonging to Admiral Trench. They find a signal that insinuates that Echo may still be alive. And so they head out to see if he's alive or if it's just a trap. The moral at the beginning of this episode is the search for truth begins with belief. What are your thoughts, Scott?
Well, clearly this is in evidence to if you're going to find out if Echo is really being held captive and used by the Separatists, you need to believe in Rex. You need to follow him as your leader. You need to trust his hunches. We see, for instance, Crosshair do the exact opposite of that, constantly just blame Rex for getting them into this in the first place, tell them that he's probably dead, that he shouldn't be feel guilty because he'd have left him for dead too. He's
Which
just
is
a
super
rag.
Interesting. And, that yeah. Crosshair would say that specifically. We'll come back to that though.
You're right. I think that it's a good point. Is somebody who also holds a grudge against not going back for somebody.
Right. It makes you wonder if there was some foreshadowing, if that was entirely planned when he wrote these four episodes. It must have been. It's Dave Filoni, so.
I think you're probably right. What about you?
I agree. I think also Rex has belief in himself and in his hunches and his, because everyone around you, when you are sure of something that's very elusive and not provable, and other people around you, even especially people that are really close to you that you trust and believe in, and vice versa, they believe in you as well, are questioning it or doubting it a little bit, or like kind of, you know, I don't know. That makes it really hard to continue to believe in yourself. And yet Rex is certain that Echo is still alive. And that belief, it makes me think of like the first Matrix movie. Like Morpheus believes that Neo is Neo. Like he believes it. Mm-hmm. And that belief can manifest power, you know?
Yeah, so, absolutely. And Rex, like you're saying, your convictions are challenged when they're not supported by the group. And Rex is brave and is a man of his convictions and sticks with him.
I really like how even though Anakin doesn't question Rex to the point of not believing in him, but you see the hesitation there. And my favorite thing in this episode is that it's Padme who kind of keeps him on the right path with it. Like this scene with Padme is so awesome here in the final season of the Clone Wars because it could have just been to do it, right? Like to have it in there because you get the line of Obi-Wan's at the end and it's just this deep cut that Anakin mm-hmm. doesn't even respond to.
Yeah.
But the scene is so good. She comes in, ever the voice of reason, to keep Anakin focused on trusting Rex, mm-hmm. which is exactly what he needs to do here. Because the other men aren't going to follow. If the general doesn't follow what Rex is doing, the Bad Batch isn't going to follow. You know what I mean? Like, they're not going to follow. Anakin has to show that faith in him as well when they send them out so that it has that weight to it.
Yeah, Anakin's so projecting here. One, Padme points out that, hey, when you've gone headlong into battle, where has Rex been?
Right.
Right by his side.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Also had to make him probably sting a little thinking about what else is not by his side, because that's very noticeable in the beginning of this episode.
What do you mean?
Ahsoka.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Who's been by your side? Rex and Ahsoka, but so Rex.
You're right.
He's the one who's still there.
Right.
And in that way, Anakin is revealed to be kind of a potentially shallow general, shallow friend, shallow colleague, if you will, fellow soldier. Thankfully for Padme, right? And then, of course, Anakin says, I think he's letting his emotions get too involved in this.
Projection.
To which Padme expertly says, oh, I wonder where he got that from.
Huh.
You know? And literally, while he's telling Rex to stand guard, to hide what he's doing,
right.
Rex has to believe Anakin even in doing that.
Right.
He knows it's not the right thing to do.
Correct.
I thought it was hilarious that he taps on the door three times, mm-hmm. and it sounds like maybe he's just alerting him, but then Anakin turns around and he says, Obi-Wan's coming.
Right.
So they
tap
have
three times for Obi-Wan.
They seriously have like a specific
name my new band.
Yeah. They literally have a specific signal
right.
for when Obi-Wan comes.
Right.
Rex knows he's not doing what is right in this case, but he believes what Anakin is doing must be worth this secrecy. When Obi-Wan says, "Did you at least say hi to Padme for me?" Which is a great line, because it shows us that he is, at the very least, pretty confident in his suspicions. And realistically, we haven't seen any of that. It's been a complete mystery, basically, up until this point. And
you're never sure how much Obi-Wan really knows. Yeah.
Yeah, and in episode 3, he is able to, without being told, the child is Anakin's.
Right.
Like, he knows, right? Yeah. And he goes to her when he knows Anakin's in trouble.
Right.
So this is sort of setting up the fact that, yes, Obi-Wan,
he's aware.
Yeah. And this obviously isn't the first time that Anakin's done something like this.
Right.
Because they already have the system in place and mm-hmm. all that jazz. And so I thought that was a really smart driveway up to what eventually happens, you know?
I also think it's interesting to show where Obi-Wan and Anakin are in their relationship at this point, because it, like you said, it's clearly happened before, and it's unlikely that Obi-Wan's ever said anything quite as specific as what he says here.
Yeah.
And that look Anakin gives him over his shoulder, it hurts.
And a perfect example of Anakin not being reciprocating in truth. He isn't honest with Obi-Wan, and Obi-Wan gives him opportunities. Because Obi-Wan believes in Anakin.
He doesn't trust the Jedi.
Yeah.
Palpatine has sown too much distrust in him. And Obi-Wan showed too much reluctance to train him initially. I think it affected him. Mace said, "No, we won't train you." Obi-Wan's like, "Well, I guess I'm stuck with you. Like, I guess I'll train you. That's what Qui-Gon wanted me to do." But
yeah.
And he was chiding him in episode 1, like all the time, like trying to put him in his place, like making him look like a little kid. Like, yeah. I get it. In a lot of ways, I get it. He's super powerful.
Mm-hmm.
And then this father figure that he never had shows up and like supports all that stuff. So yeah, of course he doesn't trust a Jedi, even mm-hmm. Obi-Wan, which is insane. But yeah. I mean, it's well, pretty, the stakes are pretty high.
The thing that he is doing, speaking with his wife,
right?
If Obi-Wan knows, he also knows that Obi-Wan will probably tell the council.
He'll have to,
because that's what Obi-Wan does.
Yep.
Granted, Obi-Wan hasn't.
That's because Obi-Wan hasn't had any. Well, he hasn't had to catch them yet. He can keep turning a blind eye for now.
Yeah, but that's what he's doing. He's turning a blind eye.
Yeah.
I think he knows.
Sure. One of the things I was thinking a lot in this episode, especially towards the beginning as things were kicking off, man, you really miss the presence of characters like 3PO, R2-D2, and Ahsoka in situations like this, because they always, you know, the droids are there kind of for comedic relief, but they always end up doing something very useful or having some good point of view or a piece of intel or something that's helpful. Same with Ahsoka. She's always helpful in a situation.
Mm-hmm.
Their absence in this arc here, in this situation that the characters have to go through, is so incredibly profound and noticeable. And I think it's an interesting way to sort of preemptively hand off the Clone Wars story back to the clones more specifically as we moved into the Bad Batch TV series.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. They're...
This is what it'll feel like without them.
Yeah.
In a lot of ways.
And I think that I think this is very much in line with the Bad Batch. And I think the Bad Batch is, we could have a long discussion about the Bad Batch based on this introduction to them. It's not exactly the focus of this podcast, but I do think that we are learning totally different tactics in the sense, it's even in the plot, right? The idea is that they are aware of Rex's tactics, so they need to basically do what Hunter would do. In the previous episode, Rex says, "I'm going to take a page out of your book, Hunter. We're going to do it your way," because it's not going to be expected. That's the... Rex's plans are the actual problem. So, yes, I believe there is like a handing off from, oh, this is how the clones, Rex, kind of did things during the Clone Wars. And Clone Wars and Clone Force 99 is going to be the little bit more jaded, a little bit more rough and tumble, a little bit more aggressive kind of troop that is going to be able to survive after the purge. And so it does make sense that there's a transition from clones to the Bad Batch, as there is a transition from good clones to bad clones, from the Republic to the Empire.
Crosshair calling out Rex, like, yeah, he's probably dead. You should have left him behind. That's what I would have done. That's interesting. That's super interesting, because that's a direct reference to later events outside of this arc, but with these characters.
Yeah. And I, you know, we're not a Bad Batch rewatch podcast, but let's go ahead and spoil it and let you know that if you're listening and haven't seen the Bad Batch, here's a spoiler. Crosshair gets left behind and holds a grudge against the entire troop through at least the end of the first season.
With not even just a grudge, but like...
he wants to kill them all.
He tries to kill them all.
He joins the Empire and...
willingly.
In order to get the resources to hunt them down.
So it's really interesting to see some of the development happening here that comes across as just, you know, fleshing out this guy, who he is, what he's like. Mm-hmm. One-off, these one-off comments, but they're not one-off comments. They matter to the overarching story of these characters, and that was taken into consideration very likely this early in their little four-episode arc of season 7.
I even think it might be indicative of another truth, which is that his chip is functioning in his head, and who knows what's going on. Like, he's one of the only people of the Bad Batch that gets directly affected by Order 66 right away. So he's just a little bit, maybe that's the reason he's a little bit more volatile. Maybe that's the reason he doesn't like other people. Maybe it's the reason he's not really listening to Anakin that much.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see later on down the road where those characters end up, having started here and talking about them in a Clone Wars podcast, to then see how those arcs all fulfill themselves within their separate show. I think it's going to be very cool to see that.
Yeah.
This episode being the halfway point here at the end of episode 2 of the 4-part arc ends very horrifically with the reveal. It's a good thing, I think, Echo is alive. But is he? He looks not so much alive, definitely not well. And it's sort of a horrific little reveal here at the end of the episode.
Horrific indeed, like nightmare fuel, right? Like, he has been reliving this the bad dream of his death on repeat, on a loop, as if he's still battling in the Citadel, and has...
which happened at the beginning of the Clone Wars,
yeah,
if you recall.
So years into the future, and he's all probed up, and he's...
cut into pieces, he's missing parts.
Yeah.
It's pretty gruesome.
It is gruesome, and it's scary, and his pale, frail skin with holes in it, and wires coming in and out of his brain, and he's all worried, and... Rex is holding him, and it's intense.
Yeah, it's pretty intense. And we'll have to talk about what happens next in the next episode, because this episode is coming to an end. We're so glad you joined us. If you'd like to continue chatting about it, hit us up in the comments below, and we can go from there.
Yeah, absolutely. Hit us up on social media, at Fables of the Force on Instagram, at Force Fables on Twitter. We wait with bated breath to hear from you. I'm Scott.
I'm Matt. And may the Force be with you.